be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readings from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist Saint Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
When the wise men departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Glory to Jesus Christ. Next weekend, on Sunday, we will celebrate Theophany, and we'll have our procession down to Bless the Waters in Bangor, wherever we might find it propitious to do so. So dress warmly and have some boots on according to the weather, but make sure you're here, because it's a great service, of course, blessing the waters, and then going outside and blessing the waters. So I welcome everyone to come to that. Today we continue to think about Revelation. You remember last week we spoke about Joseph and how God communicated with Joseph to encourage him to not be afraid to take the Theotokos as his wife and then to continue and do many good things that led up to the birth of the Savior. Today we continue in that vein, and it's appropriate that we do so, for this is the series time of the year called Epiphany and Theophany next weekend. This means, theophany means, of course, of an appearance of God. And epiphany means appearance that is kind of striking, sudden, miraculous. And so this is a time of year when we especially celebrate revelation, epiphanies, Christ being born in a manger, the Magi coming as the first Gentiles to worship the Lord. Yes. And then his baptism, where God reveals himself in Trinity, speaking from heaven. This is the voice of my beloved Son, descending in the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and of course the Savior himself, the Christ, being baptized in the River Jordan. But it's true that with all this revelation, we need to remember something. That one of the attributes of God is that he's inscrutable. That means he's not scrutable. He's not someone you can put under scrutiny. You can't put him under a microscope and look at him. You can't look at him with a telescope or binoculars. You can't look at him with the eye as we see other things. God is inscrutable.
And as such, it's only through his revelation of himself to us that we can learn anything about God, about who he is, what he desires, what he's like, what pleases him, what doesn't please him. We need revelation from God. Without it, we are lost, because God himself is inscrutable in his person. So only as he chooses to reveal himself can we know about God. Today, we consider the lives of two great saints, one in the epistle, the Apostle Paul, and the other in our gospel, the Joseph, protector of the Lord himself. In these saints, we see miraculous personal revelations recorded in the Holy Scriptures. And of course, it is true that these two men had a special part in God's plan for mankind in the history of salvation. Very special. And so they needed personal revelation. But I think, lest we suddenly cut ourselves off from what follows and think it doesn't apply to us, we need to remember that we are special in God's sight too. Every single person has a part to play in God's great design, if we're only willing to be guided by him, through him revealing himself to us. So this begs a question. Why do such revelations occur? Why do they occur? And, I think importantly, to ask the question perhaps this way. Are great revelations something that come to people because they are saints? Or are revelations the source of our eventual sanctity? In truth, both are true. God reveals himself to both those of us who are outside his plan at the moment and to those that are very much inside of it and to everyone in between. God reveals himself. Both are true. They're inseparable. God revealing himself brings us from darkness to light. He's the light, the illumination, the revelation. He brings us from outside the fold, inside the fold. But then when we're in it, he continues to guide us. He continues to keep us. And so, with this in mind, we look today at our epistle, the Apostle Paul, and the Gospel, Joseph. But looking at it in such a way that we see in how God revealed himself to them, ways in which God can reveal himself to us, and also that we think, as we spoke last week, like Joseph thought, deeply upon God and his revealing himself to us, as he does to each one of us. First, let's look at the life of the holy Joseph, who, as we saw last week, sought God through prayer and deep meditation to know God's work. His story continues today with more revelations, miraculous revelations, miraculous personal revelations, where God continues to include him in his plan in a special way and to draw him to himself. After the birth of Christ, the story continues, and Joseph is a big part of that story. It says at the beginning of our gospel that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, again. And he said this to Joseph. He said, "Arise, take the young child and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring you word." Just as an aside, it's not always cowardice to flee. It's not always sinful to flee. Sometimes you need to flee. Consider yourself to be weak. And often it's wise to flee. Flee temptation. Flee situations. Perhaps, like Joseph, flee places. And so God came and intervened in Joseph's life, again, in a miraculous dream, and told him to flee. The reason he was told to flee is, first of all, that Herod would seek to destroy the young child. This was well known. And there was a prophecy, of course, that Jeremiah gave, as we read, that there was a voice heard in Ramah of people weeping for their children. It's interesting that those holy innocents, of which there were thousands, and they're commemorated today, weren't given a warning. There was no vision and dream to them to flee, for those mothers, and to those fathers. Truly, God's revelation is inscrutable. Why it occurs to some, not to others. And so, Joseph, being warned, he obeyed. And he arose, took the young child, and he went down into Egypt. Again, we see his obedience to what God showed him. He was obedient. And then we see in this obedience the second reason for this warning. It says that the scripture had spoken earlier, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This prophecy was fulfilled because Joseph took Jesus to Egypt, where he could be taken out. And so you can see there's an overreaching purpose that's deeper than the personal movement of Joseph to fulfill God's plan in Revelation. Not just that you flee because Herod's going to kill the child, but you flee because God said something else before that. You needed to come out of Egypt, Christ's child. And so Joseph was part of that plan. The plan went back hundreds of years, inscrutable, all the while hidden, but now revealed. And then, of course, after he left, Herod, being mocked, went and did his wicked deed. These thousands of babies were martyrs for Christ. The Christ child fled and was saved, but thousands of others were not delivered in the flesh. They were martyred for Christ by Herod. But when Herod was dead, again we get another miracle, another revelation, another personal revelation, if you will. An angel again appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go back where you came from. For they that are dead sought the young child life." Again he gets the dream. This time it's to return. And so the obvious reason to return is that it's safe now to go back to your people, back to the place of the worship of God, to return back to your homeland. And so he goes, but on the way, he gets a minor course correction, if you will. God zeroes in a little bit more and says, as you're going back, be careful where you turn aside. God gave him specific direction. And so Joseph, getting this extra fine tuning, if you will, in this precise direction, turns aside again into Nazareth. And so we see again two reasons for this miraculous personal revelation. First, it's safe to go back, return back. There's something to do there. That's where you need to be. But also, the reason being that Jesus was called by the prophets a Nazarene. And so again, hearkening to this great plan, which was hidden, which was inscrutable, God reveals something about what was said in the past, bringing us into a place of blessing through this dream. You see, without God's direction in our life, we're pretty hopeless. We're pretty hopeless to fulfill exactly what God wants. Joseph got to the end that God desired for him because God spoke and he listened and he obeyed. And so he made it back to the Holy Land. And of course we know what the Lord's ministry was like there and how it enveloped the whole world, starting with this little guidance that was given to Joseph here again and again and again. So, this in mind, we take a look at the Apostle Paul, a vastly different person at the point of which we have this revelation recorded. The Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel also. God had a plan for the Apostle Paul. And God's plan for the Apostle Paul is that he'd rescue him, just like he rescues all of us from sin, first of all. God reached out to him to bring this plan into effect, again, in miraculous personal revelation. But he starts his passage, very interestingly, with a very powerful statement. He says, "The gospel which was preached by me is not after man." He starts by proclaiming this greatest, I think, of all truths regarding the gospel, regarding salvation, regarding God's plans and God's will, that it's not of men. What you were designed to do, what you were called from your mother's womb to do, as Paul refers to himself here as being called out of his mother's womb, is not of the design of men. It's totally God showing himself to us. It's not of man, it's of God. It's of him, it's by him, it's from him, it's for him. It's not of ourselves. This is a great truth that we have to get a hold of for revelation. That when God gives revelation, it's for a purpose that benefits you, yes, but ultimately it's his will, it's his plan, it's his purpose. It's not your choice. And so Paul, giving this as a header, if you will, to the rest of the story, says, I didn't receive it. I wasn't taught it. God showed himself to me. God revealed himself to me. He says it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The greatest revelation of God is Jesus Christ. How he's revealed to each of us is different. To the Apostle Paul, it was on the Damascus Road, in a bright light, in the voice of God speaking. Why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul by name. A dramatic conversion. But God reveals himself through Jesus Christ to the soul that's wandering here in darkness. And this is what he was referring to. And he mentions then to the circumstances behind the timing of this revelation. Unlike Joseph, who was a holy person from his youth, living according to God's will, not just his religion, who appeared many times, God appeared to him in dreams during this whole passage of the birth of the Christ child we've seen over and over again. A holy person seeking step by step by step to do God's will. With the Apostle Paul, it was one who was a murderer, who was on his way to murder Christians. He stood there watching the stoning of Stephen, who was related to him, with great joy and zeal. This man received revelation not in the place of meditating upon Christ, but on persecuting Christ and his people. This man was zealous, he says, in the Jews' religion, but he was doing it in ignorance, everything that he did. He was fighting against God. A different circumstance entirely than Joseph's, and yet God came down and gave him this great light. At God's time, Paul says, when it pleased God, not in your time, you don't call down God's revelation. You can pray for it, certainly. But whether God gives it or not, it's God's decision. He says at God's time, when it pleased God, the same God who separated me and called me into this world from my mother's womb, at that time, God called me by his grace. Interesting, by his grace. I didn't deserve it. I got revelation not because I was special, or I deserved it, or I'd done something really good, or I was even walking in accord with God's will, because he wasn't. He got it by God's grace. And the reason he got this revelation is revealed to us. God revealed his son in Paul so that the heathen might know about God. That's you and me. This man who was rebelling against God was given revelation so that he could be saved, yes, but that he could lead many, millions, to Christ throughout the centuries. The reason, salvation, for him and for others. God's will is our salvation. God wants us to be saved. Even after his conversion, the Apostle Paul doesn't speak about all the great teachers like Gamaliel that he had when he was a Jew and a rabid Jew at that. He speaks about how he didn't hang out with the apostles. He didn't go to the Harvard Divinity School. He sat at the feet of Jesus looking for more revelation. And so it was that even after his conversion, he still needed special insight, special guidance, special help from God. Revelation is very inclusive, as we can see, just from these two examples, about where it lands and who it lands upon, and when it lands upon the future. It finds us at all points of our life. In fact, as it says in Romans chapter 1, the heavens declare declare God's glory and reveal him as the Godhead, as all-powerful, just by looking in the stars as revelation. God's reaching out regardless of our situation as individuals to speak to us all the time. There's both particular revelation, like we see in the examples today in these two men's lives, and then there's just general revelation of God speaking, like through the world, through his Holy Scripture, through his prophets announcing things. It's God's pleasure to even reveal himself to those who are actively opposing him and who died in sins eventually, or even in rebellion to God. Just let me cite briefly just a few examples of this. Remember, Balaam had a donkey. He was driving along the road with his donkey to go prophesy against the Jews, which God didn't want him to do. And God spoke through the donkey to a man about to die in rebellion against God. God is speaking to everyone. Know that this is an encouragement. When you speak to someone, God's speaking to them. The person that you think is defying God and is on a mission against him may be just an inch away from being reached by God's revelation through you or through some other things that are working on circumstances in their life, perhaps. How about Samuel and Saul? When Saul went right before his fatal day of battle and called up Samuel, God released Samuel to appear to Saul, who was about to die because of his wickedness. He called up Samuel and allowed it to happen. Unusual revelation. How about David? After he sinned with Bathsheba, God sent Nathan the prophet with the message that God gave to Nathan about what had happened. All that David thought was hidden was wide open to the eyes of the prophet, who got the revelation and then revealed it to David right in the midst of his sin. Personal revelation, it's widespread. It's totally beyond our ability to control the when, the how. It's God who does it. It can come in dreams like it came to Joseph. It can come through animals, as it did to Balaam. It can come through the reading of the scriptures when Josiah found the scriptures and read them and had a great revival in the nation of Israel. It can come as it came to David through another prophet. Or it could come in great, stupendous visions, as that of St. John, the divine, had on the Isle of Patmos and is recorded in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's widespread revelation across humans, across the spectrum of our characters, good and bad, across the spectrum of the nations, and across the spectrum of time, and without regard to holiness, in such a way it's indistinguishable about why God presents himself in any way that we can comprehend. He grants personal, specific revelation according to his will, to his purposes alone, regardless of our current relationship with him. So I guess we could say it's not how God reveals himself, but what he's showing us when he reveals himself. Everything that God does is for our salvation, and for the salvation of those in general. And so while it's true, as Jesus said, that an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and we must not seek signs, it's also equally true that we must read the signs that God gives us and act according to them. When God gives us a sign, we must obey. When we have that theophany, that revelation of God, when we have that epiphany, that special, striking manifestation of God's presence and his truth, his reality, his will, we must obey it. In this season of theophany and of epiphany, might each one of us, no matter how close we might be to God today, understand this, that the Lord has brought you into this world for a purpose. He called you from your mother's womb. And it's before him who you stand accountable. He will guide you. He will reveal himself as he chooses, though, particularly or generally. But when he does reveal himself, it's our duty to be ever watchful and open to his action when it comes, just as Joseph was when Joseph prayed about whether to put aside the Virgin Mary. You need to seek God. Seek him, not signs, not the revelations. Seek him, but in so doing, he will not leave you or forsake you, but will give you the guidance that you need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.